Hello, church. Today we are looking at Mark chapter 12. And I hope that everyone has had a chance to read the entirety of it. But I think for the sake of our conversation today, we will be focusing particularly on chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Once again, it's Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. And so if you haven't read it yet, I suggest pausing for a second to read that really quickly. And if you've already read it, then that's great. Just have it sort of open along with the questions. But this part of Mark is a familiar passage in that it talks about the greatest commandment. And a lot of us have probably heard many teachings about this. This is often reference in other parts of the gospel, but essentially Jesus is doing a teaching explaining what it is that sort of the most important thing that Christians ought to do. You know, what is the thing that Christians should be striving to do on a fairly regular basis? And the very first thing that Jesus talks about is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is actually a reference to the Old Testament, where there's something very similar about loving God with your heart and your soul and your strength and whatnot. But the key difference here is that there's also an emphasis on the mind. And for those of us that aren't aware, back in the Old Testament, in the ancient with the ancient Israelites, whenever there is a mention of the heart, it wasn't necessarily how we think about the heart today. I think oftentimes in society, especially in culture nowadays, when we talk about the heart, we talk about emotions and expressivism and things like that, which are important things, but the heart is only one part of how the ancient Israelites understood it. Because when they were talking about the heart, they were actually talking about the mind as well. And so here, Jesus provides a little bit of a distinction in that there's also our emotion, there's our soul, the essence of what it means to be human, our mind, our capacity to think and to rationalize, and our strength, which is our physical bodies. And so when we think about this, Jesus is talking about worshiping to the fullest extent of what it means to be a human being. Now, for some of us, this doesn't really make sense, or maybe this doesn't matter too much, but what Jesus is getting at is how we don't simply worship God based on our emotions and based on how expressive we are at church, but that there is a holistic component based on how we live every single day. That's why he follows up this command by saying that the second most important thing is to love your neighbor as yourself, that there are no commandments greater than these. And I think, church, this is an important thing for us to contemplate now, especially as we live in a very secularized society. And the reason for this is because this is also laid out in our questions. The questions, I think you'll find that in the Jubal or the website. You'll find it somewhere. But one of the things that I ask is, especially in reference to the second verse about the greatest commandment, about the loving your neighbor as yourself. Church, I'd like to ask us to really think about these things. You know, what does it even mean for us to love your neighbor as yourself? What does it mean for us to do this on a regular basis? What would this look like? Do we ever think about loving our neighbor as ourselves? Do we ever think about expressing that or taking tangible actions? You know, when it comes to this idea of the greatest commandment, church, I'd like for us to really think about what this means and why Jesus is saying that this is important. For those of us that feel we aren't really doing stuff, well, this is the kick in the pants that we need, in that perhaps it's time for us to really start loving our neighbors instead of just loving ourselves. And for those of us that are already doing this, you know, that's wonderful and that's great. And the hope is that you'll continue to do this as you live out your faith. But church, the important thing for us to understand and for us to really contemplate is this. Are we living out the commandments that are in the Bible? Are we doing things that reflect who Christ is? Are we doing these things because this is what Christ commands us to do? Or are we not doing these things at all? Do we hear the messages every Sunday? Do we hear it in small groups? Do we hear it in certain settings and simply leave it at that? You know, in the later part of this this story of the greatest commandment, it says, in Jesus responding to the teacher of the law, right? It was very interesting because the person responded very well to Jesus. You know, and at the end, Jesus said that he answered wisely and saying he's not far from the kingdom of God. Church, I think this is something that we really need to consider more and more, that for us to be close to the kingdom of God, for us to catch a glimpse of the power of the resurrection, for us to understand who God is in his very nature, or even for us to understand ourselves, that it isn't just individualistic in that we don't just live for ourselves, we don't just live to please ourselves, but more importantly, we live in a body. We live to lift up and support the body, but in doing so, as we do things with people, that is when we realize, or that is when we catch a glimpse of what it means to be closer to the kingdom of God. It's not based on how much service we do. It's not based on how expressive we are in worship. It's not based on how much I tithe. But it's all based on how we ought to live our lives, how we do this on a regular basis. Do we live our lives in such a way where it reflects Christ? Do we live our lives in such a way where it's clear that we do love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we live in such a way where we also love our neighbors? Or do we keep to ourselves? Do we come up with excuses? Do we try to justify inaction and et cetera, right? These are things for us to really contemplate as we think about what it means to be a Christian. And church, my hope is that as we hear this message, we continue to think about how we ought to live the way that Christ is intended for us. And my hope is that we think about how we can love our neighbors instead of just loving ourselves. My hope is that we think about what it means for us to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these questions that I've asked, these questions that I've provided, is a means for us to do so. It's not for us to feel guilty because we've taken missteps, but rather it's used as a tool to gauge where we are in our faith, not for shame purposes, but for us to realize what we could be doing today. And my hope is for us to really reflect and contemplate on these things so that we can start abiding by the things that Christ wants us to follow. The hope is that we will continue to honor God in all the things that we do. And so with that being said, let me pray for us. Lord God, I ask that as we hear this message about the greatest commandment, that you would help us grasp what it means to be a believer, that you would help us grasp what it means to love our neighbors and to love you, Lord, with everything that we have. And for a lot of us that are struggling, Lord, I ask for strength and wisdom and discernment. And I pray for a sense of encouragement, Lord, because these are very difficult things for us to do at times. But Lord, we know that we are able to trust fully in you for that strength and the encouragement that we need to do these things, Lord, because we are, as human beings, are short-sighted more often than not. And so, Lord, I just pray for your wisdom and your grace to be upon us. And would you help us? Would you give us the capacity to really do better in terms of loving our neighbors as well? So, Lord, I thank you for this time. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.